May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Janan, thank you for how well you read the Hebrews reading this morning. The first verse of that reading was this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. On Wednesday of this week, my eye was drawn to the headline on the business and technology section of the Wall Street Journal. It said this: Tesla plows ahead despite loss. What struck me was the strength of the verb, plows ahead. It suggests bold, undaunted action. Fear and anxiety are laid aside. Setbacks are expected and accepted, but they are not allowed to become roadblocks. Elon Musk, who is the CEO and chairman of Tesla, is the child of divorced parents. He spent most of the time while he was growing up living with his father. He was severely bullied during his childhood, and he was once hospitalized when a group of boys threw him down a flight of stairs and then beat him until he blacked out. But he has become one of the most exceptional and visionary entrepreneurs of our time. He has an estimated net worth of $12.7 billion. And he's 20 years younger than me. Tesla Motors is now producing 2,000 electric cars a week. SpaceX, another of his companies, already has the contract from NASA to transport goods to the International Space Station, and it has the contract to develop astronaut transport capability by 2018. Later this year, SpaceX will launch its new rocket, Falcon Heavy, which will be the most powerful rocket ever developed. Elon Musk believes that he can reduce the cost of human spaceflight so that it will cost a tenth of what it does right now. One of his goals is to establish a human colony on Mars because he believes it is too risky to assume that planet Earth will always be able to support human life. We need, he says, to plan a multi-planetary future for our race. Surely, if faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, you have to say of Elon Musk that he has faith. He has that character trait that leads him to plow ahead despite loss. Uh, I think I was 14. The independent school that I attended in North London was a 400-year-old Church of England foundation. Nevertheless, a high percentage of the student body was not Christian, but was Jewish. They were the sons of refugee immigrants from Germany and Eastern Europe who had fled to England to escape the Nazis. The Christian students were required to attend chapel at the start of every day. Out of respect for their faith, the Jewish students were excused chapel, but had a separate religious meeting, which was known as Jewish Circle. Each year, Jewish Circle sponsored an essay contest with a prize of £100. The prompt was always a religious topic. £100 would buy me the bass guitar that I really wanted. And so I entered the contest determined to win. The topic of the essay was, "What is faith?" I worked very hard on my essay and I won the £100, but I didn't buy the bass guitar. Maybe that I won because I was the only Gentile to enter the contest. My opening words, and I remember them now, were these lines from Hebrews. "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." If I had known back then what I now know about the letter to the Hebrews, I probably would not have written what I did. Back then, I assumed that the words, "faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen," were a dispassionate, philosophical description of what faith is. They are not. Instead, they are a very passionate call to live life in a particular way. It's a way of living life that can be summed up by that headline that I saw in the Wall Street Journal on Wednesday. "Plowing ahead despite loss." You see, what I now know about the letter to the Hebrews is that it is almost certainly not a letter at all, but rather a sermon. It is a sermon that was preached to a tired, despondent, discouraged Christian congregation in Rome. The preacher had known the people for quite some time. He, or possibly she, knew that some of this congregation were abandoning their Christian faith. Others were very close to doing just that also. And the preacher beseeched them, "No, don't turn your back on your Christian faith. Don't go back to where you were before you believed. plow ahead. Don't permit your present discouragements to unsettle you. Live with faith in the things you hope for. Live with conviction about the things that aren't immediately clear right now. We think the congregation to whom the sermon was preached had originally been a group of Jewish families living together in Rome. At that time, there were Jewish communities dispersed all around the Roman Empire. At least once in their lifetimes, they would want to make a pilgrimage back to the holy city of Jerusalem to visit the temple, the place that was at the heart of their religion as Jews. And it is very possible that they had made that pilgrimage for the Feast of Pentecost and had seen Peter and the rest of the disciples as they emerged from the upper room, transformed by the Holy Spirit. And there, in Jerusalem, this group of Jewish families had converted to faith in Jesus of Nazareth, excited to believe that he was the Messiah whose resurrection would result in a new age of prosperity for those who believed in him. They were now no longer simply Jewish, they were Jewish Christians. And they returned to Rome to practice their faith. But over the years, their enthusiasm cooled. They didn't prosper as they thought they would. They found their religion cost them social approval. They began to sense that at any time the emperor could turn against them and they would be persecuted. Being Christian just wasn't worth it anymore. Jesus of Nazareth was turning out to be a big disappointment. And that's why they were abandoning the congregation. And in order to challenge them, the preacher reminded them of their ancestor Abraham and his wife Sarah. Remember Abraham, he said, how he left the place where he was settled, where he had prospered already, and he set off towards a new, unknown life, living as a nomad with his wife and his children and his herds, simply because he heard God telling him that was what he should do. Remember, the preacher went on, Sarah, rolling on the ground laughing when the three angelic visitors told her that at her age she would have a child that would be the father of the great line of descendants that God had promised Abraham and her. These people, the preacher told them, they lived with faith. During their lifetimes, they never saw the fulfillment of their promises. But still, they were content to live in tents in a strange land, and they died with smiles on their faces in assurance of the things they hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. I don't instant message. texting and email are quite enough for me. But my phone is set up for messaging. And on Friday afternoon, while I was writing this sermon, my phone beeped with an alert tone that I didn't recognize. It was an instant message from Raymond Hughes. Out of the blue, Raymond sent me an old photograph of his father's music store. In an upstairs window was Nipper. You may have been here when I preached a sermon about Nipper, the little dog with the cocked head that was the trademark of HMV. He hears his master's voice. Raymond was here to listen to that sermon on that day. And after church, he excitedly told me that his father had had a statue of Nipper in his store. And I gather it is still in a store window somewhere in Thomasville. And Raymond must have come across that photo on Friday afternoon and sent it to me. I replied to his instant message when I worked out how you do it. I replied along the lines that I couldn't believe the coincidence that I should have preached a sermon about Nipper only to hear that Nipper had played such an important part in the life of this very town. Raymond messaged me again and he said, "In Thomasville, you never know what's waiting around the next corner." And I laughed to myself because that was just where my sermon was going to go. It is not just in Thomasville. It is true of all our lives. We never do know what is around the next corner. But as today's gospel said so clearly, we have to be ready for whatever it is. Let your loins be girded about. That's Bible speak for be sure you've got your pants on. And your lights burning. We can so easily be knocked flat by what is around the next corner. If we are not ready. And whether we will be ready or not depends completely upon how we have practiced the habits of faith. Saying our prayers, reading the scriptures, attending worship. If we have done those things, if we have practiced the habits of faith, then faith will keep us strong. And we will plow ahead despite loss, assured of the things we hope for, convicted about the things we don't yet see. But if we have not practiced the habits of faith, if we have not said our prayers, if we have not read our scriptures, if we have not attended worship. Then we are going to be like that house that is built on sand. And how will we keep ourselves from collapsing? Amen.